the story? The angel, right? The angel Gabriel appeared before he appeared to the Blessed Mother. He appeared to Zechariah, who was a priest in the temple, doing the once a year worship in the temple on the feast of, I guess, Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement, the only time the priest would go into the temple. And he had a vision of the angel Gabriel, who told him these things. And so that's where we're picking this up. He didn't believe, so he was kind of like gently cursed, "You will not be able to speak, since you did not believe, until these things come to pass." And so they come to pass, and Zechariah says, no, his name is John, and that's an act of faith in what the angel had told him. And so in that moment, his tongue is freed, his mouth is open. Imagine your husband couldn't speak to you for 9 months. All right, how do you take that? Anyway, so just a few thoughts with the readings today, which are so meaningful, and it's always important when you read the scriptures, they apply usually to some particular thing first and foremost, maybe some Old Testament historical moment, because a lot of these readings, the first reading in the Psalm or Old Testament. But then if you broaden your horizons a little bit and see the whole picture, it's like, wait a minute, this applies to John the Baptist like really well. So we don't know exactly who Isaiah was talking about in the first reading, maybe himself. "Hear me, O coastlands, the Lord called me from my birth. From my mother's womb, he gave me my name." That applies to Isaiah, perhaps. But isn't it amazing? We know the story of John the Baptist, how when the Blessed Mother came, or rather, the angel told Zechariah all these things before he was born, and then when he was born, his name was already there, and then the Blessed Mother would visit him, etc. And then Psalm 139, which is beautiful, "I am wonderfully made, O Lord. Truly you have formed my inmost being. You knit me in my mother's womb. You knit me. I give you thanks, for you have made me in such a way. I am fearfully, wonderfully made. My soul also you knew full well before I was born. My frame was not unknown to you when I was fashioned in secret in the depths of the earth, or my mother's womb." Again, John the Baptist fulfills these prophecies very well, perfectly, but they also apply to us, right? Each one of us, where did you come from? Well, I'm some random act of evolution. You know, it just kind of necessarily had to happen, kind of chaotically, you know, whatever happened between my parents and then the tissue started to evolve randomly. No order, no design, no plan, just kind of random. And that's who I am. And when I wasn't here, and one day I won't be here, and the world won't be any different because of me. That's not our philosophy at all. Before you were born, God knew you. God fashioned you. Our understanding of the way God makes people, especially, is that they are wanted, each one. That they are planned, each one. Designed, created, willed into existence. Yes, perhaps you could say by their biological parents, but all the more so by Him. "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you." I think even Jeremiah would take up a very similar thing. The whole concept. "You knit me in my mother's womb." So it's important for us to know who we are, to know why we are here. First and foremost, originally why I am here. God made me. God formed me. God designed my life, planned me. But then it's also important through your baptism. In my baptism, we were configured to Jesus Christ. And we say this more in your baptism when they put the chrism oil over your forehead, it smells so good. And it's like, oh my gosh, I'm never washing my baby's head because it smells so good. And you know, if it was a boy, it never smelled better than that. It only smelled worse. But no, that idea of you're anointed with Jesus Christ, configured to Him who is the priest of all priests, the king of all kings, and for today's purposes, the prophet and teacher of all prophets and teachers. So with John the Baptist and with Christ, more importantly, we share what happened that we see here. He was sent before he was born. I love how Isaiah describes, like, Jesus, or rather God, "From my mother's womb, you gave me my name. He made me a sharp-edged sword." He made me a polished arrow. He was preparing to use me. He was preparing to make something great through which others would come to know his light through me. They make this emphasis that John, fulfilling the prophet Isaiah, a voice crying out in the desert. And God is the word. Jesus is the word of God. But the prophet is the voice that carries that word, right? With no voice, I can... What's good of the words without any voice, right? That was kind of corny, but receive it. Just lovely people. Anyway, the voice is needed to carry the word, and you are the voice. If you're silent, what can the word do? It's important for us to realize who we are, where we come from, and where we are going. A light to the nations. A messenger of God, a herald of the coming light. A little lamp. John the Baptist was compared to a lamp shining in the darkness to prepare the world to see the sun. Ever imagine like when you come out of some dark place, you've been there for like I don't know, half an hour, and you step into the bright noonday sunlight, like, oh my gosh, I can't see, it's too bright. So we, in many ways, like John the Baptist, are sent to be kind of an intermediary lamp, okay? Just kind of get used to the light a little bit. And we're meant to bridge people's hearts to the true light, to the fullness of the light. We're just the bridge, but the bridge is important. Again, we're just the voice, but the voice is important. They also compare John, Jesus referred to John as the friend of the bridegroom, the best man. Actually, John the Baptist calls himself the best man. I'm here to help escort the bride down the aisle. But I'm not the bridegroom. She's not for me. These things that happen, they're not to glorify myself. They're for the bridegroom. If you didn't pay attention a couple days ago, we read the St. Paul took that and said to the Corinthians, I betrothed you to one husband. He's kind of criticizing them for becoming unfaithful. But that's the role of the church, of each one of us. The best man to help betroth and lead the bride to her one ultimate supreme bridegroom. Prepare the way of the Lord, make straight his paths. That's our role. First in our own hearts, but also through our lives and words occasionally, the hearts of others. I was going to leave off with that, but just one last thing. You are sent into the world, and the world is very much in darkness, and you are sent as that shining lamp. And it can be kind of intimidating. Oh my gosh, like, how can you expect me to do that? Like, my friends don't always listen to me, I'm not the coolest person in the world, and I don't know, what difference am I going to make? And I'm scared anyway, and I don't want to stand out, I just want to be normal. I just want to fit in. Well, the good news is that you have experiences like a weekend retreat, not alone, but with others as well. And we might hear more today, but like one of the goals of this kind of retreat is to build community. We need community. You notice even Jesus didn't think to send one of the apostles by themselves. He always sent them at least two by two. He knows the fragile nature of the human heart. He knows we need support. So I do encourage us to be open-minded to what he's doing this weekend, what he's already been doing, and many other efforts to build a stronger community of faith. Not just my own personal life of faith, but a communal life of faith with others around me. And maybe they're different from me, we don't have everything in common, they're not cool either. Get over the cool thing. There's no such thing as the cool people. Everyone's got their stuff. But with them working together as one community, one family in the Lord, that can make a huge impact. You know, it's the cool group in school has an impact, right? They don't exist, but they do exist. Okay, the cool group in school has an impact. Well, have an impact, but be smart. Don't work alone. Allow all of us to renew our baptismal gift of being configured to Christ, the prophet of all prophets, the teacher of all teachers. Raise your hand if you're a teacher. There's a few of you. I saw it. Yep, you've been a teacher. You are a teacher. All of us are called to be teachers. Raise your hand if it's easy every day to be a teacher. Don't you dare. It's not easy to be a Christian witness and prophet and teacher of the way of Jesus Christ. But we are called first to know it well ourselves, to experience its fruits and benefits and the peace and joy that come with that way. And all the more convincingly bring it to others. May we not hold back. May we learn from John the Baptist, who gave that witness when it was easy for him, like St. Paul, in season and out of season, when it was hard for him. Y'all know what happened to John the Baptist, right? He preached for a while, and he preached not just the loving face of Jesus Christ, but also some of the challenging ways of Jesus Christ, challenging ways of God's law. And he dared to call out a politician for not living up to the way of God. And he was arrested, put in prison. He preached in prison. I'll preach to anybody who listens to me, he says. I'll preach to prisoners in prison. Just put me where I can. Just let me have my voice. Let me be the voice. Wherever you put me, Lord, I want to be your voice. Until the very end. And then someone else who was kind of miffed by what he did to the politician, the politician's wife, who should have been his wife, she got involved and she had him beheaded. Actually, she had her teenage daughter do some crazy dance to please her husband. And her husband made some stupid commitment, the King Herod. And the daughter, this teenage daughter, instead of wanting all the wealth of the kingdom of was it Judah? Wherever they were, she wanted the head of John the Baptist. Kind of a reflection of how corrupt the culture can become, that a young child would ask for the head of John the Baptist at her mother's instigation. Thanks, Mom. Good way to form your kid. It's pretty sad that the culture could be that corrupt. But we know it can happen. And John gave the ultimate witness to the point of his life. We ask for him to inspire us, to intercede for us. We ask for the Holy Spirit to have free reign over our hearts and minds, over our words, over our voice, that it would be the voice that brings others the word of God. Amen.
Amen.
St. John the Baptist, pray for us.